no, contrary to what Neil was saying, I don't really want you to be like me.
We do admire that, Jamie.
A couple of weeks ago, 22 women from Penrallt went away for a weekend. We went to a very nice place, nice, comfortable, cozy, nice food. And we spent a weekend getting to know each other a bit better. This is a wonderful church, but because it's such a large, growing church, it is difficult to know everybody. So we went away, 22 of us, with the idea of getting to know each other a bit better. And then, having got to know each other a bit better, loving each other and caring for each other a bit more, and accepting each other. That reading from Romans that Beryl read for us was about acceptance, particularly that last verse, verse 7. Accept one another. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Acceptance. Acknowledgement, value, however you want to enlarge the word, but it's about accepting one another. And that sounds really quite easy. Do we accept one another? Do we accept one another as we really are? And that's the crunch, really, as we really are. It was interesting when Neil was talking about Job, when we read the verses. Was that how Job really was? Was that the reality? For many years, I worked for Relate. And so I saw a lot of people who had marital problems. I saw couples and individuals, and they came to see me and they talked about their marital difficulties or their partnership difficulties, because many of the people who came weren't actually married, they were in what we would in Relate call intimate relationships. So people came and they talked about their problems, and of course there were many, many problems. Some were very practical problems, like people would argue about money, or they would argue about their children, or sex, or jobs, or how they each spent their time. Or sometimes the problems were more nebulous, like they would come and say, "We're drifting apart," or "I don't think I love her anymore," or they would argue about how close they wanted to be. Some people want a relationship that's a bit like this, a lot of independence, and other people want a relationship that's more like that, living in each other's pockets. And some people want an intermediate relationship. And of course the problem arises if he wants a relationship like this and she wants a relationship like that. So all sorts of problems. And yet, despite the variety of problems, there was often an underneath theme that was the same. So for instance, a couple would come and they'd be arguing about the children. She would say to me, "He's awful. He just goes off. He never bothers to discipline the children. He just has a good time. He leaves all the disciplining to me. In fact, he's just like a child himself. I've got four children, really. Not just three, I've got four. I mean, he just doesn't take on any responsibility at all. It's always me that has to sort things out and be serious about everything. Now, what she's actually saying is, why can't he be just like me? A couple arguing about money. And he would say, oh, do you know, she thinks money grows on trees. It's me. I take it so seriously. I budget. I'm careful. We're saving for a mortgage. And yet she just fritters it away. She's got no idea. She's got absolutely no idea. She can't manage money. And when I say, come on, we need to budget, she says, oh, no, we don't. I mean, things have got to change. So again, he's saying, why can't she be more like me? And if you think about it, and I'm not asking you now to sort of think openly about it, but are there arguments that you have with your partner where that's what you're actually saying? Why can't he or she be more like me? Difference is difficult to accept. Two people in a relationship are different, and that difference needs to be accepted if it's going to be a good relationship. But not only do we find our marital relationships, our intimate relationships, sometimes difficult, we also find it difficult to accept unpleasant emotions in other people. So if we are confronted by a person who says, oh, do you know, I feel really down today, or feel really depressed, sometimes that's difficult to accept. So we don't accept it. We actually don't really hear it. And we say something like, oh, don't worry, you'll feel better tomorrow. Things will look brighter in the morning. Or if somebody says, I'm really worried, I've been to the doctor, I'm worried I've got cancer, it's just too much for me. Again, often we don't hear that, we don't accept it. It's difficult to accept that. So we say something like, oh, don't worry, they've got marvellous drugs these days. You'll be okay. You'll be okay, you'll be fine. We don't hear, we don't accept, because it's too difficult, it's too painful. But maybe the greatest area where we find acceptance difficult is in accepting ourselves, accepting who we really are. Do we accept who we really are? Do we look at ourselves and think, yes, I accept myself? Or do we think, no, don't really like the person that I am? In fact, you know, so many people, they're so much brighter than I am, they're more attractive than I am, they're more talented than I am. I'm not much good, really. I'm not much good. Self-acceptance is a difficult thing. To actually look at ourselves and think, yes, I'm okay. I am God's creation. And, all right, I'm not as he planned me, the good creation that was his original idea. But I am his creation. Christ died for me, and I am okay, I can accept myself. I think fear has a lot to do with our lack of acceptance. To accept difference in a relationship, now there's fear attached to that. There's fear attached in accepting other people's painful situations and their unpleasant feelings. And this fear attached to really looking at ourselves and accepting ourselves. I've got a book here. Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? And the answer: I am afraid to tell you who I am, because if I tell you who I am, you may not like who I am, and it's all that I have. So this fear in exposing ourselves to other people and saying, this is me, because other people might not like what they see, and this is all that we have. So we have these fears. We have these fears which, I suppose, many therapists refer to as baggage. If you read some of the self-help books, there's a reference to the baggage that we carry around with us. And sometimes in these self-help books, there's little characters drawn, and they're holding bags full of their baggage, all the fears that they carry around with them. Well, I think really it's more helpful to think of the fears as actually being within us, and these are the fears that we do carry around with us. All of us, to some extent or another, we carry fears around with us. And of course, thinking again about the therapist, that's often what people go to therapy for, to help look at the fears. But as Christians, we have another way of tackling these, because we know that Christ is within us. Christ is there with the fears. It isn't that the baggage is there and Christ is within us. It's that the fears are within us and Christ is within us with those fears. We're not alone with them, but Christ is with us, with the fears. He knew that. He knew the fears that we experience. And the reading that Neil took from Philippians talks about that. That Christ became a man. He took our humanity upon himself. He took upon himself the fullness of our humanness. So he knows the fears that we're going through. And he is with us as we experience those fears. So he's with us in our fears. But to what end? Is it somehow so that we can get rid of them? Or is it to make us a better person? Is that what our Christian life is about? Becoming a better person? God created us. God created me. God created you. God created those 22 women who went away to St. Daniel's a couple of weeks ago. We were all different, just like everybody in this chapel now is different. And that's one of the mysteries for me of my faith, that God created each one of you and me in his own image, and yet we are all different. We are all absolutely unique and absolutely distinct. We are in the image of God, but at the same time we are absolutely a unique and very, very special journey. And our faith, and a very, very special person. A very special person. And our faith journey, my faith journey, is to be that special person that God created. So, in accepting difference, in accepting other people, in accepting myself, I am taking part in a faith journey as a unique and special creation of God, as God's daughter. And what I have to do isn't strive and try to be better. It's to learn who I am. God has created me, and I must learn who I am. Who is this Jenny Powley that God has created? When I get to heaven, I don't think, I'm not sure of course, but I don't think that God will say to me, "Jenny, why weren't you like Mother Teresa? Or why weren't you like Arlene?" Now, Arlene was one of my very first Christian mentors. When I first met Arlene, I thought, wow, Arlene. I'll never be like Arlene. Arlene was an amazing Christian. But I don't think God will say to me, "Jenny, why weren't you like Arlene?" I think God will say to me, "Why, or rather, were you Jenny Powley? Were you that unique person created by me, accepted by Jesus? That special person. Did you learn to be you, Jenny Powley?" That's what he will ask me.